Blog Talk Radio.
There's a big difference between a mission statement and a vision statement, and today's show will clarify how they differ. We'll give you a step-by-step plan to establish your own personal mission statement that will enhance your business, your service organization, or even your family unit. Creating a mission statement can be simple and easy. Now is a good time to determine the most effective way to position yourself in a clear and concise manner that will determine the right type of message to help you grow and expand your base. So get out your pen, paper, and your thinking cap, and let's get busy creating a mission statement that is right for you. This is Carol Copeland Thomas, and you're listening to Focus on Empowerment. Hello, my friends. This is Carol Copeland Thomas. Thank you so much for listening. We are barreling away with this new year. It's hard to believe that we have just one more full week in January, and then we bounce into February. So I would encourage you to go back, and if you have not had a chance to listen to some of my January shows, it will help you just to give you a sense and a preparation for where you can be in your life, in your business, with your services, as we really look at 2016. And then next week, I'm going to talk exclusively about vision statements. Today, we're going to talk about mission statements and the importance of it. And then we're going to talk about vision statements because the two are often confused and they are not synonymous and they stand on their own, but obviously they work in tandem with each other. So we're going to give you a full-blown explanation of a vision statement, which may take you a little longer than a moment to create. The mission statement probably is easier to create and will change, and we'll talk about that. But the vision statement probably will take you a little bit of time. So they are separate, and we're going to talk about each one this week and then one next week. I'm very excited for those who are coming to our March 3rd Black History Breakfast. It's right around the corner. We have about 24 people who we're honoring. I can't tell you how excited I am about the individuals, both past and present, who we are honoring. I'm getting more and more research as time goes on. It probably needs to be a two-part Black History Breakfast because there is so much to tell. But we will be honoring the living Tuskegee Airmen who are here in the greater Boston area. There are about seven of them who are still alive. We're going to honor them. And if we're very lucky, we may have one or two who will be present. They're up in age, and we know that sometimes getting up very early in the morning is not great for them. But they will be represented by Willie Shellman, who we're actually going to honor because he is the president of the New England chapter, Tuskegee Airmen, and he will be in attendance. And I just can't wait to tell you how excited it's going to be, along with all of our other living and past recipients who have dedicated their lives or a portion of their lives to military duty. Ernie Washington Jr. is our keynote speaker, Vietnam veteran, Purple Heart recipient, and I have to give him credit because this was his idea to honor our African-American military personnel, servicemen, servicewomen, officers, et cetera, who have served our country well. It's turning out to be a wonderful breakfast. Our newest sponsor is JetBlue Airlines. I'm excited. They sponsored one of our earlier events. They are back, and we're going to give away two round-trip tickets anywhere that JetBlue flies to lucky recipients who are going to be at the breakfast. You can find out more information about it at mssconnect.com. That's mssconnect.com. And you can click on the links, see all those who are going to honor. We're doing a number of blog postings on their lives, so you can go to the blog section at mssconnect.com and read very detailed biographical profiles about each and every deserving person. So that's really very exciting. Now, the next thing is we are knee-deep into our presidential campaign. This is 2016, and our primaries start on February 1st. I actually attended an event last night, a unity event, That was really the result of some of the very hateful political rhetoric that is being spewed around primarily on the Republican side. I went to a mosque here in Boston, the Islamic Cultural Center, the Islamic Society of Boston Cultural Center. There were about 250 people in attendance, very multicultural, Jewish, Christian, Muslim, lots of Jewish people there, lots of Christians there, and the Muslims who hosted the event. And it was basically a statement saying, wait a minute, we're not going to take this political rhetoric. We are one people. We are Americans. We stand together, and we don't talk like some of our political candidates are talking. So I say hats off to the Greater Boston Interfaith Organization that helped to organize this very important event. And I will be talking about politics until the election. I am not going to hold my tongue because I think some of the rhetoric is absolutely racist and hateful. And we have to stand up and say, we're not going to take this. We're going to vote. And those who are spewing that hatred will not be voted in office, period. You can find out when your primary is going to take place by going to my website. And on the home page, there is a list you could download that will give you all the information. Go to MSSConnect.com. MSSConnect.com. Go to the on the homepage, and you can't miss it. You can download. It's a complete list of every primary that's going to be held between February 1st, which is Iowa, and then the next week is New Hampshire, all the way down to the District of Columbia on June 14th. And so, if you want to know when your state is going to vote or your particular part of the United States will be voting, go to that list, and you could govern yourself accordingly. I know in Massachusetts now they have, you can literally register to vote on your smartphone. Hallelujah. And I'm sure that's the same way with other states in the country. So we're going to, you're going to get sick and tired of me because I'm going to talk about voting as often as I can. It's that important this year. And I'm just totally disgusted by some of the language that's being used and the people who are just, I don't know if they're being brainwashed or they're just believing some of this hatefulness that and lies that are taking place. So I feel it's my job as a journalist to give you the facts. You vote for whomever you want to vote for. That's your choice. But you need to be educated in terms of who is who, what is what, and what are the facts behind our presidential election. So that's it for today. We'll tell you more about it. You can download the primary list and govern yourself accordingly. And please, please vote. Well, let's talk about the mission statement. A mission statement is primarily a statement of who you are. Either you as a person, or you the business, or you the organization that you stand for, or the faith-based organization that you stand for. It doesn't matter what the entity is. It is primarily a definition describing who you are. Now, at my blog today, you can listen again to this blog post, this radio broadcast at tellcarole.com, TellCarole. You can go there, go to the latest blog today for January 21st and listen to this again. But I also have my mission statement there. And I'm going to talk about it on this show because the most important thing to remember from my perspective now, again, everybody has a different way of looking at this, but from my perspective, the mission statement is most relevant to where you are real time. It's a real time statement, which means that it may change periodically. Now, I can definitely say that the mission statement that I had 10 years ago does not reflect the mission statement that I have on the website today. And 5 years from now, 6 years from now, it will also be very, very different. So your mission statement more than likely will evolve and change over time. Next week, when we talk about the vision statement, you will see where that will be more constant and more than likely won't change for some time, unless your life changes and you go through these series of epiphanies or whatever, and then obviously that's going to be reflected in your vision statement. My vision statement has not changed in me get this right, in 18 years. It is the same statement. And, again, I'll give you all the information next week. But the mission statement has changed because my business has changed. Some of my focus has changed. The core foundation, the core strategic points, the thrust that I'm doing, that largely has not changed. But the vehicles of delivery, many of the other operatives have changed. So, again, that's why it is a real-time statement that will change. That's the important thing. When I look at a vision statement, I look at it this way, 3 points, 3 steps that are important. Step number one is that you need to create time to do some comparative research. Comparative research, what does that mean? That means that you need to look at other mission statements for people, for organizations, for businesses, for institutions, whatever the platform or whatever the player is that you are, the stakeholder is that you that you are creating this mission statement. So you want to just really look around you and get a full sense of how your mission statement should be written based on what you've actually seen. 23 years ago, when I joined my current church, Bethel AME Church in Boston, they had a mission statement. And they're also very big on vision statements, and we'll talk about that next week. But they had a mission statement, and I think we probably need to repost it, and it probably is definitely going to change. But they had it on a poster board. So every week we had an opportunity to see the mission statement of Bethel AME. Businesses and corporations have mission statements. You can go to any website for any large or small company, and typically they will have a mission statement there. It's defining who you are, how you operate, et cetera. And so do the research so that you will feel comfortable and confident describing who you are in this mission statement. Now, why do you need to do all this? Because you need to describe and define you so that someone else won't do it for you. That's the main reason. Why do you want someone else, if you're creating a personal mission statement, why do you want somebody else to do that hard work for you when you have all of the resources, the talents, and the insights to describe who you are as a person? Certainly what your business is, if you are running a business, and if you are even in a department within a large organization, and let's say you're leading a group of 25 employees, I'm just sort of creating this scenario for you, what's the opportunity for you? Why not create some kind of mission statement within your particular department, as long as it aligns with the mission statement of your organization? Maybe it can be a play on your mission statement within your organization. There's nothing wrong with that unless legally you can't do that. But certainly if you have that space and you have that opportunity, it's a wonderful opportunity for you to really create the presence of being that will clearly help people to understand who you are. Now, when you're looking around and you're trying to determine, you know, this comparative piece, think about these questions. Number one, what do we do today? And again, because a mission statement is real time, what do we do today? Number two, for whom do we do it? For whom do we do it? And number three, what is the benefit? All right, so this is from a presentation by Alar Kolk, Vision and Missions of Fortune Global 100, and it includes the vision and mission statements of companies in the Fortune 100 companies. So we're adapting this as we do SWOT charts and others from corporate think tanks and corporate strategic platforms. And if it works for them, it certainly could work for you as a private business owner, an individual, a faith-based leader, et cetera. And the features of an effective mission statement, again, I'm reading this from Alar Polk's piece. Number one, purpose and values of the organization, and that's very important. Secondly, what business the organization wants to be in, products or services or markets, or who are the organization's primary clients or stakeholders. So again, that's a business representation. If you're talking about a mission statement for yourself, then you're not necessarily going to have your clients in your mission statement, but you can still use the template and use the structure because it works both ways. Another feature or another question, what are the responsibilities of the organization towards these clients? And number four, what are the main objectives that support the company in accomplishing its mission? So those are just four ways to really look at a mission statement. It's real time, it's now. It can have connections to a client base if, in fact, you're creating it for a business. And it talks, it's relational. So it talks about the relationship that you have with the stakeholders, the people in your family or whatever. And, yes, you can create a mission statement for your family. I think if more family units did that, we would probably have more cohesiveness. When my children were small and I was newly divorced and keeping my family together, we created a family mission statement. It was a statement of who we were as a family and how we were going to operate. And to me, it's a wonderful way for you to revisit that mission statement from a family perspective every year, where you can come together as a family, maybe after the holidays have ended, you can have a nice bowl of soup. Everybody can have a nice pot of soup or chili maybe on a Saturday and just sit down and reflect, or maybe the next holiday that can come up in your household, or the next time when everybody can come together. Find a time that can work, and maybe if the kids are old enough, you can have every family member to go off and research and do this comparative research where you can come up with different examples of mission statements. And again, they don't have to be family mission statements. You can, again, do the adaptation from a business perspective. But again, get the whole family involved in creating this mission statement. It's one that can be used over and over again through the years, and when your kids grow up, they can do it for their kids. So it's a wonderful way to really keep that family together. So that's step one, the comparative research, really looking around you and figuring out how that statement needs to be packaged together based on what other companies, people, organizations are doing. Number two is to list everything about you. Now, when I say you, you the person, you the business, you the church, you the mosque, you the temple, you whoever you happens to be, list everything. So this then becomes an opportunity for you to create inventory. This is an inventory list of your assets, an inventory list of your assets. So if you're creating a mission statement for yourself, then perhaps you can create all of the good qualities about you. You are a good organizer. You are an excellent cook. You are a wonderful father. You are a terrific mother. You are an excellent secretary. You lead people well. All of the attributes, all the assets that relate to you can be listed in chronologically, so you can order them, you can prioritize them, and you need this inventory list. The same thing is true if you're doing this for a business. List every service, every product, all of the features, everything related to your business or this business that you are getting ready to start. All of that can be packaged together and inventoried on this list. Now, why are you doing this? You're doing this because you need to have a full sense of your resources, your personal, these business resources, that can then get packaged into this mission statement. Now, some may not have to do that because you've already thought through this, or you just have a brilliant memory, or your mind is so sharp that it can work for you without even worrying about things. But for most of us, you need to have this kind of list. So you've got the comparative research here on this one side, and then you have your own personal list that is detailing all of the services, the resources, all of the things, the qualities, the assets that are making you who you are. And you're packaging all that together. So step two is important because the research will keep everything very credible for you. This list that you're creating will also be an excellent opportunity for you to make sure that you don't miss something, so that you can then go on to step three, which is the whole writing process, the creating the mission statement. For some, it may take you a while. Maybe it'll take you a couple of days, perhaps a couple of weeks to create it, especially if you're not a good writer or if it takes you time. Some people really have to think about these things for a while. That's perfectly fine. So maybe you create the next, you take the next 2 weeks or 3 weeks, let's say, no more than 3 weeks, to really come up with this mission statement. I say that because the vision statement may take you a little bit longer, because that's really introspective and very deep thinking. But this shouldn't take you more than 3 weeks. So I'm going to say put a time limit on it, and let's say between now and 3 weeks from now, you really have an opportunity to create this particular statement. The statement can be probably no more than a paragraph. It can be as short as one sentence, but it probably is going to be a couple of sentences. Now, I'm going to give you three examples. An example of a mission statement that I created for two friends of mine who are very supportive, and they listen to the show from time to time. And this was done maybe 2 or 3 years ago. Now, these are just like stems. Wikipedia always talks about stems. This is the beginning of what probably is a mission statement, and it has some, it's metaphorical. So it stands for just the significance of these two women. The first thing says, the first statement, and again, this is a stem, it says, Beverly Munn is the Library of Congress of the AME Church. She's the Library of Congress of the AME Church, period. Now, I could go on and we could talk, we could probably put two or three more sentences there. And the reason why is that this woman is so knowledgeable about this denomination, our denomination, and she's so well connected and has such a presence of mind that when you want accurate information, when you want to get depth of knowledge, and when you want to get background information about a particular topic or whatever, you can go to Beverly Munn, and she will have it there for you. So that's why the Library of Congress, with all of its resources, et cetera, is a great metaphor to use with her. Another person, this is her sister, her platonic sister, is Joni, her name is Joanne Fagan, but Joni Fagan. Joni Fagan is an artistic content provider who masters art, dance, and poetry with ease and effervescence. Okay? Joni Fagan is an artistic content provider who masters art, dance, and poetry with ease and effervescence. So I said that because, created this mission statement, because she's a very talented woman in her almost late 70s. It's kind of scary to think that she's getting up in age like that. But she moves efficiently. She's a wonderful dancer. She creates cards. She creates poetry. So this one statement embodies all of her qualities, all of her good points. And that's why number two for you was to really list everything about yourself. And once that was done, we could create this one sentence, a stem for a mission statement for Joni Fagan. So that's an example of two people creating a mission statement based on them as a person. Now, I'll take myself as an example and give you my mission statement. And again, I have this at the website, on today's blog at tellcarol.com. And I'll make my own comments after I read this. Carol Copeland Thomas and C. Thomas and Associates are content providers delivering presentation programs, consulting initiatives, and live events to audiences large and small throughout the world. The focus of their services highlight positive change to global diversity, multiculturalism, inclusion, leadership, empowerment, and women's issues. C. Thomas & Associates is a full-service training and consulting practice founded by Carol Copeland Thomas in 1987, period. So the end does have some historical reference, even though it should be in the present, but I'm doing this because I'm representing my business. So you'll probably notice two things. I have stated my name first, and then I've stated C. Thomas & Associates second, because I operate as both. There are times when people will hire me because they know me, they have a relationship with me, and Carol Copeland Thomas is delivering the services. There are other times when C. Thomas & Associates is more appropriate, especially if I'm working on a collaborative project and I have other people involved, and as a team or as a group, we are delivering the services to the client at hand. So it depends. And as an entrepreneur where I collaborate with other people, that's pretty appropriate and probably is very popular when you look at that. Now, the key word here, and you heard it with Joni Fagan, was content provider. Content provider. That's a word that is used a lot now in the television industry or in the entertainment industry. Because there's so many platforms, and I didn't even really talk about that, but I sort of gave a hint to that. There's so many different platforms where 25 years ago or 29 years ago when I was a trainer, become speaker, my definition of where I delivered my services was pretty finite. But now because of the internet and webinars and virtual programs and even programs like BlabIM that I'm Blab, www.blab.im that I'm investigating now and will probably have my presence on that platform very soon. You can't write a mission statement that limits you nowadays. You need to broaden it up. Now, the picture that I created at the website shows my face, and it shows my name, Carol, with the International Guide Academy, because last August I received my certification as a tour manager, international tour manager. So the whole travel component has become a very active part of my business. So I'm probably full-service training, consulting practice, and travel business founded by Carol Copeland Thomas. I'm probably going to add the travel component into it. And then there's subsets like the Multicultural Symposium Series. So again, that's why I go back to my original statement that your mission statement is probably going to evolve and change and modify in the course of time, more so than your vision statement that will pretty much stay is. Now, hopefully this has been helpful to you, and I encourage you to take a stab at it. Go to the website, look and see how mine is written. Remember the three steps, the comparative research, listing everything, having a laundry list, an inventory list, and then doing the creative writing yourself in terms of what that looks like. And hopefully you'll create the kind of mission statement that will really work for you. Thank you so much. We'll be back next week. Enjoy the rest of your week. And remember, empowerment begins when you believe in yourself. This is Carol Copeland Thomas. Take care.